So in May of 1957, an entire row of homes caught fire in West Boden, Germany. So in a panic, one of the inhabitants of one of the homes in the middle of this row, right, seeing the fire coming down at the houses from afar, immediately, almost by instinct, fastened a brown scapular to the main door of the house. Sparks flew over the house and around it, but the house itself remained unharmed. Within 5 hours, 22 homes had been reduced to ashes. The one structure which stood undamaged amidst all of the destruction was that home which had the scapular attached to its door. And this is not some pious tale. Hundreds of people witnessed this event and then came afterward to see the standing house. And if you don't believe me, you can Google it. Now, the owner of the home could only attribute its saving to the intercession of the Blessed Mother through the brown scapular of Mount Carmel. I'll come back to this. So in our gospel this morning, our Lord tells the parable of the seed and the sower. Now, this is a long parable. Much can be said about this parable. But thankfully, I should say, our Lord leaves no doubt as to the meaning of his words, because he explains them to his disciples at the end of this passage. The seed is the word of God, which is Christ's voice, his teaching, which is implanted on a person's heart. And depending on the environment where it's thrown, it either produces fruit for a time, or simply does not produce any fruit at all. And in this particular context, our Lord's referring to the evangelization of the gospel and its receptivity by the people. In fact, he explains in this passage that many of the people who had been listening to him, particularly the Pharisees, could not understand his parables and teachings, not because they were too difficult, but because they refused to believe in him. It was because of the hardness of their hearts that they were unable to understand anything he said. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. You see, only those who were willing to hear what our Lord was saying would receive the grace of conversion and follow after him. For those who did not want to follow him, who did not want to accept his teaching, who did not want to change, and were not open to him, well, God would respect their free will. And in perhaps, I think, an unsettling way, and I think it seems that we can deduce from Christ's parable that in reality, only a minority of those who receive the word are going to become fruitful through it. Why? Well, because God, as I said, respects our freedom to choose to live for him or not, to love him or not, to turn away from sin and vice or not. You know, in all the ages of the world, there will simply be those who do not want to receive the truth, the word, for whatever reason. And Christ respects our hearts and does not force his love and freedom on anyone. Now we, as disciples of Christ, must therefore always strive to lay good seed, lay a good foundation, so we may never reject Christ. In other words, we should always strive to have our hearts be correctly disposed so as to receive the graces of conversion, the graces of salvation, the graces of the sacraments. We should always strive to lay a foundation in Christ that cannot be destroyed, right? So that we may never fall away amidst temptation or suffering or hardship, sadness or discouragement. And, you know, there are many ways, of course, to do this, but one way we can do this is through the use of sacramentals. So sacramentals are different than the sacraments, though the root of the word, of course, is the same. So they're related. Sacramentals signify effects, particularly of a spiritual nature, which are obtained through the intercession of the church. So by them, by sacramentals, we're disposed to receive the chief effects of the sacraments. Put it in simpler words. The use of sacramentals help open our hearts more to the grace of the sacraments, help dispose us to Christ. So, what are some examples of sacramentals? Right? What are some examples of things that draw us closer to Christ in the sacraments? They're actually everywhere. Crucifixes, rosaries, holy water, blessed salt, even blessed wedding rings. Basically, sacramentals are aids to grace. They help us to draw closer to Christ and his saints through their use. They dispose us to be more ready to encounter Christ through his sacraments. They're basically as tools on our Christian journey. And sacramentals have been used historically since biblical times. And uses of sacramentals are seen throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New. Now, one of the most famous sacramentals of the church, other than the rosary, is the brown scapular of Mount Carmel, which I mentioned at the beginning of the homily. For those who don't know, the brown scapular is sort of like a necklace that's worn underneath our clothes that is made of wool. And for those who are allergic to wool, there's also a scapular metal that can be worn. But the origins of the brown scapular are very miraculous. So they're traced to a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary to St. Simon Stock, a Carmelite, in the 13th century. In Our Lady's apparition, she gave St. Simon a scapular, explained to him that those who wore the scapular would be saved from the fires of hell at the moment of their death. Over the centuries, more people besides the Carmelites began wearing the scapular as devotion to the Blessed Mother increased. And since the 17th century, the brown scapular has become a universal Catholic devotion, considered to be, together with the rosary, a customary form of Marian devotional practice. Now, the popularity of the scapular devotion was ultimately due to the 16th and 17th century popes, who greatly promoted it. And the growth and development of the scapular devotion reached its culmination in the 1700s, when the Universal Church adopted the feast Our Lady of Mount Carmel on July 16th, which, spoiler alert, is today, which is why I'm talking about this. Now, this is not just some old medieval ages thing. Even in modern times, it's still promoted. Pope St. John Paul II was a big proponent of wearing the scapular. So he's reported to have worn the brown scapular since he was a boy, and he insisted that doctors not remove it during his emergency surgery following his assassination attempt on his life on May 13th, 1981, which just so happened also to be the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Just before the Holy Father was operated on, he told the doctors, "Do not take off the scapular." And so the surgeons left it on. Now, the church's official position regarding the brown scapular is that it is a garment that we wear as both a sign of our belonging to Christ through Mary and a pledge of Mary's maternal protection in this life and the next. Right, it's also a sign of three entwined elements: belonging in a sense spiritually to the Carmelite family, consecration to and trust in Mary, and an incentive to imitate Our Lady. Her virtues, right, especially her humility, her chastity, and her prayerfulness. We wear the scapular as a sign of devotion to Mary under the title of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. But by honoring Mary, we're ultimately honoring Christ, who gave her to us as our mother. Intentionality is everything. You don't wear the scapular as a talisman, right? That would be wrong. No, we wear it as a sign of love and trust. Those who deliberately neglect their souls while wearing the scapular are not placing themselves under the protection of Mary. Right? The scapular is simply an instrument of grace. If the brown scapular becomes worn out or torn, because it's sacred, it must be disposed with reverence by burning it or burying it in the ground. So those who wear the scapular are exteriorly showing their devotion to Mary and asking for intercession before the throne of her Son. We're asking for her motherly help at the point of our death, that we may die in the state of grace and one day be in heaven with Christ and his saints. The wearing of the scapular helps dispose us to grace from God, because those who wear it are reminded and are striving to be holy. They're striving to follow after Christ, to be like him, while at the same time coming before Our Lady humbly asking for her prayers. On a personal note, my mom enrolled me in the brown scapular when I was in second grade, shortly after my first communion. I have worn it since my entire life, except for a few short months. It was when I arrived here at WVU as a college freshman. I arrived here and I was embarrassed to have people see me wearing a scapular, so I took it off. Yet after a few short months of being miserable, when I began to slowly take my faith more seriously, I put it back on. And immediately, that's when I began to feel drawn to the priesthood and had a newfound strong desire to live my Catholic faith. and I attribute much of it to the brown scapular. And so in honor of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, at the end of Mass, I will enroll you all in the scapular, and I encourage you all to wear it daily under your clothes as a sign of devotion and trust in our Lord and the intercession of His Mother at the moment of our death. Christ asks us to lay a strong foundation in today's gospel so we may receive the word of God and keep it. Sacramentals are means by which we can grow closer to Christ and His sacraments. They help us remain rooted against everyday temptations to fall away from Christ. They keep heaven on our minds. The scapular is a powerful way to dispose ourselves to God's grace, particularly at the moment of our death. Just as in the house in West Bowdoin was saved through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, so too will she intercede for us, for those who come humbly before her. And so, on this 15th Sunday of Ordinary Time, and on this Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, let's ask ourselves, why would we not want to give ourselves over to the hands of the Mother of God and her protection? Amen.